Once again, I just want to thank everyone that came tonight and to hear the Word of God. You know, I can't impress upon the folks that I know and that I love and care about how much it means to me that when folks are just faithful at doing that what God's called them to do. You know, many times in life, there's a lot of folks that could be sitting in their recliner tonight and watching some TV special and saying, gee, this is good. But you know, when I used to do this, that brother, you know what happened to me? I'd find out about something that went on at church that Sunday night, and I'd just go, man, did I miss a blessing. You know what happened on Sunday night? So-and-so accepted Christ as his personal Savior, and I'm sitting there going, and I missed that. Amen? And so I try to be faithful to God's house as often as I can be. I know that everyone has times when you're out of town and doing different things, and I understand everyone's busy. But it is important that we be faithful to what God's called us to do. And tonight I'd like to look at how to transform lives, how transformed lives can secretly transform the world. And I don't know about you, but I'm in this, and I think the brother this morning was trying to bring that across to us, that we live in this time of turmoil and things just changing from day to day, and we don't know exactly what's going to take place tomorrow, and we see things, the world changing in such a way, and if any of you have been following the politics, and I'm not going to get into politics at all tonight, but you know what I'm talking about. We're being bombarded by evil. We're being bombarded by different ways of thinking, different perspectives that we didn't grow up with that. And we're looking at it now and we're saying, how can these folks live that way? It's vicious. It's terrible. It's hard to even take. And if you've watched the news, I know you can't watch it very long, and you just pretty much have to turn it off. And so what I want to talk a little bit about tonight is, you'll see in your bulletin there that I talked about Acts chapter 5:29. And so I wanted to bring that out to begin with. But I want to first of all, before we look at that, I want to think about how the increasing hostility that's in the world today, and how hostile people are toward the gospel. And then we ask ourselves, why am I having such a hard time bringing the gospel or sharing the good news of Christ with my friends and my neighbors and my kids and my grandkids? It's because they're so hostile so many times to the gospel. And I wanted to look at that tonight because I think it's so important for us to know where we stand and to know that we've been called out from among them. We've been called to fulfill the Great Commission and to take our faith and disciples those we come in contact with so they too can have the blessed hope that I have. So that they too can hear the plan of salvation and accept Christ and have this abundant life. Not only the life after death, but the abundant life on our day-to-day walks. I'm here tonight to encourage us to have a lifestyle, have a dream, have an attitude that we're here to serve God, and God's blessing us, and God's working in our lives, and I want us to look forward to feeling that touch of God every day in our life. Oh, folks, I just don't think it gets any better now right now. To know that God's working in your life and you feel His touch in your life. And all we can do is stop and say, God, I love you, and I appreciate that touch so much. Man, I was floundering today, and you came along and you gave me that touch. You know, our Heavenly Father loves us so much. He knows everything about us. He knows exactly what we're going through. He knows the struggles that we have on a day-to-day basis. But folks, I'll tell you, sometimes it seems as we try to share with our friends and neighbors about Christ, it's kind of daunting. It's almost impossible. And I hate to stand here today and say that. Many times, as you know, as you begin to share the love of Christ with your, they just close the door and tell you they don't want to hear it. And that's a sad state of affairs for us to be in. So what do? Do we give up? It's my prayer tonight that you'll never give up. That you'll never give up. I know you're going to get frustrated. I know that you're going to be discouraged from time to time. And all we have to do is just look up and say, Lord, you know, get our eyes back on Jesus. Get our eyes back on Jesus and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And then all of a sudden we know exactly what we're going to do. We're going to take the next opportunity, the next chance that we have to shed a little bit of light in this world and let folks know that, folks, it doesn't have to be this way. It can be this way. Let me share with you what Jesus has done in my life. So that's what we're looking at this morning or this afternoon. As believers, we are called to follow God's law over man's law, even at great cost. If you look there with me in Acts 5:29, and it says, Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. And then it goes on, and I want to read this to you. This isn't the whole lesson for tonight, but I want you to hear it because I want you to get a grasp of what we're talking about here tonight. It said, the God of our fathers who raised up Jesus, whom he slew and hanged on a tree, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be the prince and the savior, for to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sin. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so it is also the Holy Ghost whom God hath given to them who obey them. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and they took counsel to slay them. And so this background that I'm giving you tonight is that they're saying that Peter and the other apostles were there and they said, we ought to stand behind God rather than man. And when it goes against what God has shared with us, when it goes against that, we need to be sure that we take a stand and boldly profess that we believe in what God has for us and not mankind. What we've been seeing the last few weeks, this nonsense we've been seeing, we've taken God and tried to set God on a shelf and take over and rule this world in which we live in. And folks, God would never have us to do that. I just appreciate Peter and the other apostles saying, we ought to obey God rather than man. Amen? But you know, we live in a different world today. And sometimes when we try to follow God's law over man's law, we find this great cost. However, we are given the responsibility to exercise wisdom and good judgment in facing the scenarios of sharing our faith when it's restricted. And that's what the lesson is about tonight. In many areas of our life, in this community, and throughout the whole world, there's many places where the gospel is just restricted. Folks don't even want to mention the Lord in public. They don't even want to say, gee, God really blessed me today in church. We've lost that. We have allowed the world to steal our joy. We've allowed the world to just try to put the fire out. And folks, we need to stand boldly and profess to who we trust and who we believe in. And there's going to be times when we have to make a choice. And I mentioned this in Sunday school class this morning because I thought it fell right in there. Folks, there's many times that we have to exercise good judgment and wisdom in what we say to those that are lost in that restricted area that folks don't want to hear. We have to use the wisdom and the judgment not to go against what God has said, but it's how we present it to them. There are many times when it's best for us just to kind of pull back and get a grasp of on where that individual's coming from or going to or where he's at in his life. Is he ready to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is God drawing him? You know that except a man be drawn of God, he cannot be saved. And so we have to use a little bit of wisdom, a little bit of common sense to say, I just don't think they're ready yet. There's nothing wrong with that. Because what that does is it opens it up to give God some time and the Holy Spirit to touch that person's heart and bring them where they need to be. You know, Brother Doug and I talk about many times about his salvation experience. And he was saved in his 60s, just not many years ago. And I was saved at 27 and never heard the gospel at 27. I got saved at 27 and I thank the Lord for that. But you see, we have to kind of pull back from that and use some wisdom because God allowed me to waddle in that. Now, he didn't cause it to happen, by the way. But my old sin nature was allowing me to waddle in that for 27 years before I got ready as God was drawing me. I look back at my life now and I see how God was just moving me. And he brought me to this place over here. And when that day, I remember it so well, I just went forward and I fell down on my knees and I said, I'm a sinner and I need the Lord in my life. I didn't understand what I had. I didn't understand what I needed. But I just broke down and shared that I needed Christ in my life. And Jesus come into my life and he changed my life. I want that for every one of our loved ones. I hope we all want that for every one of our loved ones. But I want us to understand, to use a little discernment, because there's times when they're just not ready. There were times in my life prior to being 27 years old, I was not ready to hear the gospel. I'll tell you, folks, I wasn't ready. And I could have made a profession. I could have done a lot of things. You know what I've always prayed? Lord, pray for my friends and I say, Lord, but above all things, I want them to be ready. I want them to know that they're desiring to serve you. I want them to feel the tug of you so that when they do accept you, that it's something real in their life and their life's about to change and a miracle is going to take place. You're going to find me tonight as I talk about these things. You're going to see that folks, there's no greater thing. I told my son for many years, I said, son, there's only one way for you to be successful in life. And it starts off with knowing Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. Man, you can do a whole bunch of things. You can do a whole bunch of work. You can just work your heart out. You can just throw all the money you got in the offering plate. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you've missed it. You're never going to be successful. You're never going to be that God would have you to be. You're never going to have the joy that God would have you to have. Amen. So don't we, as we witness to folks, don't we want to bring them into that? Bring them, have them be drawn into something where they see the love of Christ in us. Amen. So we have to use some judgment in that. And then I think of Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. See then that we live a life that folks will see us, and the life that we live brings glory unto God, and they see that we're using some wisdom in our life, and we're walking where God would have us to walk. We're doing the things that God would have us to do. That we could be the example that God would have us to be. I have something here I want to share with you because I think it's fitting. I'm going to share this with you on this particular scripture. And this is, I'm over in Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. And this fellow that had written this, he went on to explain these scriptures, and I'm going to try to tonight to explain it to you. And it says that it's talking about the law of priorities, about redeeming our time. And I think that everyone here tonight can relate this in our own lives. If you're in any type of business or been in business and you're retired from business or you're in business, you've been there, done this. And so I want to share this with you. Because activity is not necessarily accomplishment, Paul advises us to what? First, analyze our lifestyles. We find that in verse 15. That we should, first of all, analyze our lifestyles. You know, I remember before I accepted Christ, I began to get in. Now I'm taking you back into the 60s, okay? So some of you can try to get a hold of that, but I can. But you know, Paramahansa Yogananda, he was around at that time, and there was a whole bunch of gurus around at that time, and you know what that whole scene was about at that time. But I had this vacuum in my heart, and I began to realize, as God was slowly moving me and drawing me closer to Him, I began to realize that there was only one way to fill the vacuum in my heart, and that was Jesus Christ. The only way I could ever fill the vacuum in my heart is that Jesus had to come into my life and change me. Amen? And so when you think about that, we have to analyze our lifestyles. And we have to be sure that we utilize the present. Take the present time that you and I have here today and look at our lifetime. As we talk about redeeming our time, are we redeeming our time the way God would have us to redeem our time? I've went to every seminar known to man pertaining to redeeming time. How many people have been to this time seminars? We've all been to them. But I think I've been to more than most. And I'd go back to my office, and boy, for 3 or 4 days, my desk would just clear. I've had this sitting there and that sitting there, and I had my desk all cleaned off. I was ready to do business. And it wasn't 3 or 4 days later, it was all piled up again. And I was out doing something. Not that it wasn't a good thing, not that it didn't have to be done, but if I would have prioritized myself and done it in the order in which I should have done it, I'd have been much further ahead. Amen? So you understand where I'm coming from here. So we have to analyze our lifestyles, and then we have to utilize the present. That's what you see in verse 16. And then we have to prioritize what's important. And I bring that up tonight is, I think what's going on here tonight is what's important. Amen? This is what's important. This is what God's called us to do. He called us out and set us apart from the rest of the world and said, this is what I'd have you to do. I want you to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the world. Show them the love of your Lord Jesus Savior. Show Jesus in the way you live your life. You see, this is prioritizing what's important. You know, folks, I get bogged down with stuff that don't make one bit of difference to anyone. I know you guys can relate to me. But I get tied up doing this and doing that, doing this and doing that, and that's not necessarily the best thing I can do. Amen? So, we need to prioritize what's important. And then I want to close this little piece of this about redeeming time about this. While everyone, every day, gets the same amount of time, not everyone gets the same result. Amen? Every one of us has the same amount of time every day. Every one of us has the same days every day. But when it comes all down to it, we don't get the same result. And that's because some of us are more efficient. That's because some of us have prioritized. That's because some of us are doing the right things when it needs to be done so that we can be the most... You know what God would have, what He's called us to do? I found this out when I went to work. It wasn't long after I went to work that I realized one day, how God just... You know, He gives you these aha moments. I mean, I'd accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I was dedicated. I was working at the church. I was doing all the things that I thought I should be doing, and then I began to realize that who do I work for? And one day God just spoke to me and says, "You work for me." Now I'm working in a medical facility of thousands of people, and God tells me, "You're working for me." And you know, that just kind of stuck with me, and I went, you know, that really is. Each and every one of us, we're working for Him. He's who we answer to. Annabelle, when you go in tomorrow, just remember that. Who do we work for? Who do we really answer to? Who do we answer to? It's our Lord Jesus Christ. And I found out that as I looked at my life, redeeming the time, once I got that straightened around, I understood that I did what I had to do for this individual that I reported to, and my job, of course, is like many of your jobs, it's to make your boss look good. Amen. Money's got to come out right, sister. You know, you can count that money, it's got to be right. And so we report and we do that, but what would God have me to do? God told me, He says, "But what I want you to do, Gary, when you have dealings with this man, I want you to do the very best job you can do with what I gave you to do it with, so that I will be glorified by the way you do your job." You got it? And there's where the burden kind of comes down to us. Are we redeeming our time properly? Are we watching too much television? I don't know. I didn't want to step on your toes tonight, but I'll get back off of that. But are we redeeming? Do we understand who we're reporting to and what, how critical that is in our lives to know that? You know, when we talk about the Apostle Peter and the other apostles, they're saying we ought to obey God rather than man. In other situations, you must weigh the degree and the necessity of the actions which may cause you to lose access to the people whom God called to minister to you. We have to use wisdom and discernment in our dealings with those that don't know Jesus as their personal Savior. They're all at different levels. They all have different backgrounds. They all look at life a little differently than all of us do. But we have to be sure that, this is a subject that's close to my heart. I was always having to discern not to push the person too far away, but I wanted to make sure they were there if they needed me to help them back. I don't know. There are things in our lives that was in my life at the time. I remember coming home from church and pulling over in the side of the road and crying. Now, I know that don't sound like a big old boy like me. But I said, "Lord, why? Why can't you touch this individual's life? Lord, I've prayed. I've been faithful in praying, and yet you're not changing this person's life." So I realized soon that I had to make sure that I was never doing things that would push that person away from me, but I was doing the things that I thought would draw that person closer to the Lord. We all have to do that, folks. Many times folks aren't ready to accept Christ, and we have to use a little discernment in those areas of our life to be sure that we don't push them away. I know a lady, she's going to be with the Lord now. But prior to that, I'm going to say 15 years prior to that, I heard her make a comment to a lady in church, and she said, "Yeah, I got saved in your church. Some ladies came by in the church, and they asked me to get saved, and they gave me the plan of salvation, and they didn't leave me any way to get out of it. The only way I was going to get those ladies away from my front door is say yes. And she goes, and I did. And that girl went another 15, 20 years before she got saved. Because she used that. She wasn't ready to accept Christ. And we forced her into a decision that she didn't want to make. Her heart wasn't in it. Amen? The bright side of this story is that just a few years ago now, a pastor friend of mine went by her house and said, Barb, let's sit down and talk. And she was receptive and ready to accept Christ. And she did, and she's in glory today. Because she wasn't ready before, but after years of living the life that she was living, she was now ready to listen to what he had to say to her. So the power of the transformed life. One key way to share the gospel in our workplaces and other places where we face restrictions is through transformed lives. I think this is more important. This is one of the first ones that we're going to look at tonight, and it's because it's so dynamic in what it is, and that it's so, it touches every one of our lives when we think about it. You see, actions most always impact people more than words do. Strong words do. I'll make it brief. I'll share with you my salvation experience. And Lucy goes, here we go again. But the gentleman that was sharing Christ with me never forced me. He always respected me. He asked me my opinion. He asked me if I would be offended if he asked the blessing at work, in which I wasn't. But because of that, because he took every opportunity, when we get a drink of water, he'd tell me about how good God makes water. He would share that. And so his action, the impact that he made on me was stronger than anything he could have told me that day when I was in his truck. By the way, he did have a captive audience one day. He asked me to go over and look for one of those large trowels for troweling concrete afloat. And he asked me to ride over there with him, and he got me in the truck, and I said, oh, I see how this is going to work. And Jim began to share with me, not about the gospel necessarily, but he began to share with me where his life was and how God had changed his life and brought him from this to this. And you know what I've seen as he shared his story with me? I just looked over at him and I could see nothing but the love of Christ. And I seen Jesus in his face. And that's how I was led to get saved later on. He invited me out to church. I shared that a moment ago. And in that meeting, God had drawn me and I accepted Jesus. It had to do with Jim's. Looking at Jim and knowing that Jim was real, that he loved the Lord, and he was so excited about just sharing the gospel with me. It always impacts people stronger than words. The words we speak may tell people who we are and what we think, but our actions tell people what we believe and who we belong to. Amen? There's the difference. They see what we believe, but they know what we believe and who we are. And when others see us live it, should cause them to wonder why we live that way and for whom we live. They should be able to see in your life the difference in your life so that they wonder why we live that way and for whom do we live. And I seen that with Jim every day. I just seen a difference in him. I said, I didn't know what the difference was, but I seen a difference in him, and I knew he was living a different life But then I realized why, because of whom he believed in. That's so important in our lives, to understand how our actions, how we live our life, how we deal with the day-to-day things that we deal with, how we react. I think that's a good way to look at it. How we react to the things of this world and the people we come in contact with. How do we react to that? And then a changed heart begins with a renewed mind. Before we can live a way that reflects Jesus, our lives must be transformed from the inside out. You know, when I first accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, it wasn't that one day I was lost in a mess and the next day I was right where I needed to be. There was a maturing process that took place, and so that people could begin to see in my lifestyle, in my life, from the inside out. That means our minds must be renewed, and that's what the scripture talks about. Romans 12:2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may be what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God." Folks, I'd like to start off on this scripture of Romans 12:2 and remind us, it says, it starts off with a warning. Do not be conformed to this world. We are being bombarded by the things of the world, folks, and it's stealing our joy. It says, don't be conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by doing what? The renewing of our mind. How do we renew our minds? A renewed mind means we change the way we think. I change the way I hope. I change the way I believe. I change in what I'm trusting in. That's renewing of the mind. You see, all the other garbage and baggage that I carried for 27 years was nothing. But when I began to learn and realize that I needed to have my mind renewed, so that it would change the way I think about things. It would change the way I hope about things and believe in things and how I trust in things. You see, when we accept Christ as our personal Savior and we begin to renew our minds, we have a whole new perspective on life. We have a whole new motive of life that allows His will to become our will. It means that we choose to let go of the attitudes that once controlled our thought life and drove our motives without God. I think I shared to the men's group Saturday that many times in our lives we don't get beyond that part of changing our thought life, changing our attitudes, and changing our motives. You see, folks, when sin comes into our life and we see that, when Satan whispers something in my ears, what I do is I acknowledge, who is that? Is that of God or is that of Satan? And once I acknowledge that, I know that, and I say, that's not of God, that's of Satan. And I say, Lord, I acknowledge at that point, I say, Lord, forgive me of that thought, because I know that's not yours. Please forgive me of that and take that thought from me. Change my life so that my attitudes, my new perspective, my new motives allow His will to become my will. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, and it says, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and the mouth confession is made unto salvation." With our heart man believeth unto righteousness. What's right? What's good? And with the mouth we profess we made that salvation. Share another quick story. I know you love hearing these stories. I'm going to be done here. I'm going to be done on time. I got saved, and about 4 or 5 days later, I was walking around this little square where I lived, and Jim was with me, the man that led me to Christ. He was with me, and I'd only been saved 3 or 4 days now. And Jim just comes up to this guy on the street, and he says, "Hey, this is my friend Gary, and I'd like you to ask him what happened to him the other night." And I'm going, and I said, "I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior." And that old boy got so excited. He come up, he hugged me. He was excited about that. Folks, that's what that scripture right there means. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with his mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Jim knew how important it was for me to say that I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and that gentleman knew it, and he started hugging on me. That's how important it is to acknowledge what Christ does in our lives. Amen. As with salvation, once we have a renewed mind, we act out what we believe in our hearts. If thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What we act out should be evidence of the motives of our hearts of what we believe. And then the last point tonight I want to bring out is that we have to have evidence of a transformed life. The scripture puts high emphasis on our lives as a powerful witnessing tool and a declaration of what we believe. And we see that in James chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. Our thoughts and our attitudes change to reflect the spirit that is in us. Folks, all of us, if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit lives within us, and our thoughts and our attitudes need to change to reflect the Spirit that's within us. We produce the fruit of Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. People who know we are Jesus followers because of our great love for one another. And our eyes should reflect the light of purity and righteousness that's in each one of us. I said all that to say to us as brothers and sisters in Christ and being here tonight that we should live a lifestyle that people see a difference in our life. That they should see Jesus Christ in our life. And I'm not talking about me now. I'm talking about Him. It's not anything that I do, but folks should be able to look at me and see Jesus, not me, but Jesus in my life. And we should be in that position in our life. I have found that when we exhibit the facets of the character of God through the fruit of the Spirit in other people will notice. If we live our lives in a way that reflect who He is, other people will be drawn to His attractive nature in us. Can you say amen to that tonight? I hope you can say amen to that tonight. That you're living a life that God will be able to use us in such a way that it reflects who He is and His attractiveness to Him. Not us, but to Him. And then we may find out, as people begin to ask the questions like, why is there something different about you as you witness to your lost friend? They say, why is there something different about you? Why do you live that way? You know, folks, God says that we're a peculiar people. Amen? In that statement of using the word in the King James Version, they use the word peculiar people. We're to be set apart. And so when we look at that, why do you live that way as non-Christians look at your lifestyle? And then the questions that are asked, How about this one? How can you forgive when I never... How can you forgive when I could never forgive that if that happened to me? I could never forgive that if that happened to me. When they begin to ask those questions, those are open doors for you and I to share the gospel with those folks that ask the question. How can you live this way? How can you dedicate all this time to this? How can you go to church every time the doors open? How come you're so faithful of doing that? How come you're going over and working at the church today? How come you're going to do that tomorrow? Perfect opportunities for you and I to witness to them of what Christ did for our lives. My prayer is that God may use your life in such a powerful testimony about His love, mercy, and grace that people are drawn to the light in which you carry. May those that we come in contact with see the radiance, see the difference, be drawn to it, and God would be glorified because of it. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, help us to live a transformed life. Lord, help us to fulfill the Great Commission and to share our faith and to make disciples of those that we come in contact with. Many times in our life, it's not convenient for us to witness to them, but God, give us the wisdom that we need, the discernment that we need to when to speak and when not to speak. God, that only your will would be done in that situation. Oh, Lord, that we would let the Holy Spirit speak through us, that we might say something or draw them a bit closer unto you. Lord, we ask for the Holy Spirit to empower us and direct us as we share. Thank you, Lord, for using us. Lord, as we come in this time of Beachside Baptist, and we look as we focus on families, Lord, it's our prayer that you would embolden us, that you would have us to speak boldly as we witness to folks. Lord, that we would never take our eyes off of you, and that, Lord, that we wouldn't allow the things of the world and the things of discouragement to discourage us, but, Lord, that we would put our eyes back on you, be energized by you, be thankful for you and praise you because of what you're doing here in this church. It's not about numbers. It's about young souls, children, older folks. It's about fathers, mothers, and all those that we come in contact with, Lord. So we just pray that we would understand the value of one soul and the price that was paid for that one soul. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.